Daryl Martin designs at Patina in Paducah are really about something I think you've termed a new word in upcycling.
Yes. We like to think of it as taking something that, you know, that's no one's going to use anymore or has given up on or doesn't know what to do with and turn it into something that you can actually use, a piece of furniture, a decoration, something that you can use, though.
Daryl, it seems to me, in looking at the range of work, that you must be carpenter, welder, electrician, all of those things plus?
A little electrician, maybe, yes. But for the most part, I've been doing carpentry work since I was probably 11, 12 years old. My father was a carpenter, and that's what trade that I've followed. But I've also picked up on the welding, and I've been a welder for several years. I started welding when I was about 14 years old and doing metal fab work shortly thereafter. So I really enjoy doing the pieces where I combine the two.
So I take it that you have had a long career in commercial work, and this work that you're doing now is a different step. Is that right?
Yes, it is. You're right. I have worked in the trade since the age of about 14. And I have done a lot of industrial and what we consider heavy and highway, bridges, dams, power plants, things of that nature. I've worked on several of those. This has always been something I just enjoyed doing as a hobby on the side, just in the past few years. And enough people finally, you know, talked me into trying to make a business of it. Because I was always making pieces for my wife or for my family or friends or whatever. That's how we've ended up where we are.
Well, let's just make an imaginary trip through some of the inventory that is online in your delightful website. For example, the piano bar you created for the symphony.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Okay, that was a unique piece. Actually, Ken Gray, who is an interior designer friend of mine, asked that I create something special for the symphony sing-off. And because it was the symphony, we decided we needed to do something related to music. And since we had done a piano before that was used as an entertainment center in much the same fashion, we decided to go ahead and make another piano and turn this one into a bar. Several people that came in that saw the first one thought that it would be a bar or thought that it was a bar. So I decided to go ahead and make one out of the one that we have now. The piano that we used is an early 20s upright piano. And basically, you're looking at around 150 to 160 hours work in that piece.
It strikes me that you might be like those guys on American Pickers, that you look around and you see stuff that somehow your sense of humor and design combine to imagine what this is going to be like in a new purpose.
Yes. I will be the first to admit that when I'm out looking for pieces, picking as some people call it, when I see a certain shape, size, texture, patina, if you will, on a piece, most of the time, that gives me the idea for what I'm going to do with it.
My goodness. I couldn't believe, and I loved your cut line, the bench you made from the piano harp and reclaimed tobacco barn lumber, and you say underneath it really is comfortable?
Yes. Yes, it actually is, and that piece will be at the art show. Plan on taking that piece, unless it sells between now and then.
Tell us what else will be shown. Your shop is at 224 Broadway in Paducah, but you'll be in a display area in the Lower Town Festival. And what else will be part of that? I know last year I think you had one of your door pieces.
Yes, and we'll probably have another one this year, a different door piece that we'll bring. We also will have a couch-style bench that's built on an old flat dolly. I'll probably throw in another table or so, the barnwood tables. I'll probably take one of those, too.
What about the saw blade tables? Those look fabulous.
We've got one of those that I just completed, and it should be there. Now, it's a little smaller than what we've done in the past. This one is a 30-inch bistro table.
Describe what you do with the sawmill blade.
Well, we have to take the blades. First thing we have to do, of course, is find them, and that's getting a little harder all the time. Then we have to heat each tooth, get each tooth soft enough to weld to. Then I'll weld a safety band around the entire blade. Then I'll go back and heat them again, weld the other side, and then shape the band. In some cases, we'll shape the band differently. Sometimes we'll bend them in, sometimes out. Then I'll determine what type of base I want it to have. If I want it to have a wood base, a steel base, or in the case of the last one that we did, it was a little of both. The one that's going to be in the art show in Paducah, the base, it's made of different pieces of farm equipment. It's a beater bar and a gear and sprocket and an axle, and that's the base on the new one. The main difference on the newest one is in the finish. Most of the time, we leave the saw blades raw, and we wax them to keep them from rusting. This time, I decided to try something a little different, especially for the art show. This one has a black lacquer finish with iridescent pearl in the black lacquer. It's a little different, but I think it's neat. We'll have it there. It'll also probably be online if it's not already online.
I have to ask you, you had to laugh when you finished your reclaimed rake accessory hanger.
Yes. You know, those are very, very popular. We have sold probably, I'm going to say 12 to 15 in the last year that we've been doing this. And it was a pretty easy thing to come up with, you know, to do. It's just the fact that, I don't know, people just, I don't know if they didn't think of doing it or didn't have the time or just didn't want to mess with it. But they've been very popular.
You must have developed this aesthetic and this reverence for, you know, you call it upcycling. It could be recycling or reclaimed. Mm-hmm. How did you really get into this work?
Well, I have always, I just built things, even as a kid. I would always be tinkering around in my dad's shop, always building things. And to be honest, some of the pieces that I built when I started were out of necessity. When my wife and I first got married, especially, table, benches, chairs, things like that. It was just something we couldn't really afford, so I would just build them out of whatever I could find. And that kind of caught on a bit. Because the other thing that's always been, to me, is a big thing, and what I take a lot of pride in, is the way the pieces are built. I build things that I want to be here a long time after I'm gone. I want them solid, heavy, put together, in my opinion, correctly. It's getting harder and harder for me to find that anywhere else. And I'm also beginning to see that trend in younger people that are coming to me for furniture. They are tired of buying the cheaper furniture at the big box stores that's only lasting them maybe 2, 3 years, 4 years, and buying it over and over. And now I'm beginning to see the trend where they're coming to us to try to get a quality piece that they may pay more for now, but will last them till their grandkids can use it.
I don't mean to get personal, but I'm wondering if your dad as a carpenter has watched you. Has he had a chance to watch you do all this? He must be very proud of you.
Well, you would have to ask him about that, but yes, he has. And he does some of the picking for me, actually. He finds, he found two of the large saw blades for the saw blade tables. He found those for me. It's really not quite his thing as far as taking the old stuff and building it. He would rather build something different, something new from a new piece. But I did, you know, growing up, I watched him work on everything. And like I said, to be honest, a lot of it out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we weren't dirt poor by any means, but my dad was a carpenter. We were just a medium whatever family. But when something broke around our house, we didn't call anybody to fix anything. It didn't matter if it was the car, the truck, the table saw, you know, whatever. We fixed it. And I just picked up on that from him. When I do some of these pieces, I really do like to try to think about the fact that some of the pieces that I do that are the older-looking pieces, I have in my mind, and this is a little out there, I guess, but I have to sometimes think, okay, if this were the 1920s and this guy wanted to build a couch, but this is all he had to work with, how would he do it? What would it look like? If he just had some doors, some shutters, some old porch posts, and this old flat cart laying around, what would it look like? And that starts from there.
Are you passing along your skills to a younger man?
One of my sons, Dugan, who is 15 now, helps me in the shop quite often. He does have the eye for it. He is bent in that direction. So, yeah, I do. I try to pass that on to him as well as his brothers. I want them all, when they leave home, to be able to take care of themselves, to be able to take care of a house, to be able to take care of their vehicles. I guess in the same way my dad did me, is to not rely on everybody else to do something for you. Learn to do it yourself and take care of yourself. And I do try to pass that on to them.
Daryl Martin, it's been delightful to speak with you, and we look forward to seeing your work at the Lower Town Art and Music Festival.
Well, we look forward to being there. I mean, that's a great time. If you've never been before, you're missing out. Not only all the booths, but the music is wonderful. They have great bands there that play all day and into the night. Great food. I mean, we have a big time. It's a lot of fun. It really is.